You're listening to the teaching ministry of Pastor Randy Castillo of Harvest Bible Church, Arizona, where the Word of God is taught and lives are being changed. Please feel free to visit us on the web at hbcaz.org. That's Harvest Bible Church, AZ. Now please, open your Bible, prepare your heart. Here's Pastor Randy.
Yes, Lord, it's our desire to know you more, to be drawn into a deeper relationship with you, Father, to know the things that you have in store for us, and Lord, to run to them, Father, that we might be full of you, that we might be strengthened by you to do every good work, to bring glory to your name. And so, Father, here we are this morning seeking your face, and asking you, Lord, to inhabit the praises of your people, to remove the cares of this world so that we might see you a little clearer. And so, Father, we love you, praise you, and honor you. In Jesus' name, and all God's children said, amen. Awesome, you may be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
Not bad. Let's try that again. Good morning. Good. I need that for the whole service, okay? All right, if you would please open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you need a Bible, the ushers are walking the aisles. They'll put a Bible in your hand so that you can follow along. Now, the title of our message this morning is Unwrapping the Gift of the Spirit. And so I thought how appropriate as we come into the holiday season to unwrap the spiritual gifts that God desires to give to each one of us. And we'll look at that in detail. Now, I want you to know this. There are a lot of spiritual gifts. We're only going to look at two this morning. However, I want you to realize that as we look at these spiritual gifts, there are some pastors who will take a neutral stance. What I mean by a neutral stance is there are some pastors who will say, well, you know, let it go. We'll just, you know, I don't want to be dogmatic. Or some pastors will say, well, you know what, I don't want to put God in a box. Well, let me just say this. As a pastor, I don't want to be dogmatic. It's hot in here, huh? Can we put on one, maybe that one back in the back, way in the back? That'd be awesome. Dogmatic, gift in a box, no, God in a box. I don't want to do either one of those things. However, understand this. I don't want to put God in a box, but God has put himself between the covers of our Bible. He has limited himself to what is between the words by his own choosing. He has done this. So I will take a stance when it comes to spiritual gifts as far as it has given us guidance and direction. But God himself has limited how those gifts are to operate. And when people take a stance, well, it doesn't matter. Yes, it does matter how we use the gifts. In fact, over in, and you can jot this down, don't turn there, I'm going to bounce off real quick. On Psalm 138, verse 2, it says this, I will worship toward your holy temple. I will praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have, listen to this, speaking of God, for you have magnified your word above your name. So God has decided to put his word above his name. And he has limited himself to what is in the scripture. So this morning, I want you to know that over the next few weeks, we are going to be tackling all the spiritual gifts, and we're going to, some of them will be coupled together as I see that they kind of link together. We're going to couple them together, but it's going to take us a few weeks to get through this series on unwrapping your spiritual gifts. Prayerfully, we'll be done in time for Christmas. But here's the thing. I will take a stance on the spiritual gifts when it comes to what God has told us regarding how he has worked in the past, how he said he would work in the future, and how, based on what he has said, that we can do and can't do in the present time. Most importantly, folks, how the gifts are to operate according to the scripture. So important. It's so important that we make sure we do that. So join me as we begin to unwrap the spiritual gifts. Now, let me do an introduction by, let's see what Jesus said. turn with me to John 14. Keep your notebook or your bookmark. Keep it right there in Corinthians. By the way, you're going to want to keep it there for a few weeks because that's going to be our springboard. But join me in turning to John chapter 14. Here's what Jesus said, starting in verse 16 of John 14. "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be," what? "In you." Now, notice it said it called the Holy Spirit the helper. I always have to point this out. The word in the Greek is parakletos. Parakletos means, the word in the Greek means an advisor, a legal defender, a mediator, or an intercessor. But most importantly, here's what it means: a helper. Someone who is called to help you in helping others. And that's what the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit has been given to us. God's Spirit has been placed in us to help others. God bless you. John 16. Turn with me two chapters further in John. You're in 14. Go to 16. Verse 7 through 8 says this. Jesus once again, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth." Listen to this. "It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment." Notice this. It is to your advantage. Remember, the Holy Spirit is your helper to help you help others. And it is to your advantage. And it says, "And he will come and he will convict the world of" what? "Sin and righteousness and judgment." And you might be saying, "But Pastor Randy, how does that work? How is, if the Holy Spirit is in me and it's convicting others of sin, how is that helping them?" The world doesn't want to be convicted of their sin, do they? No. The world doesn't want to be convicted of righteousness or convicted about the judgment to come. The world doesn't want to hear that. So how does that help? Listen, people don't want to be convicted. They don't want that conviction. But it's not that we don't want it. We need it. We do. The other day, I turned on the radio, and there was a pastor, and he was given the word, and he said this. He said, "If you're going to a church that doesn't stir you up, that you don't feel conviction, that you don't recognize that you haven't arrived," listen, is there anyone here who has arrived that is perfectly righteous and holy and complete? No. Okay, good. Me either. Then we should come to church, and there should be some part of the message that convicts you to make an adjustment in your life. Every Sunday, we should come back and make a slight adjustment. And he said, "Listen, if you're going to a church and you never feel that conviction of sin or of judgment or of righteousness, you're going to the wrong church." Now, I also don't want to beat you up with the word. There's always hope. You see, for every conviction, there's forgiveness and there's repentance. And there's mercy, and there's grace. Now, we're going to unwrap some spiritual gifts, and you're going to see how beautiful that concept of unwrapping a spiritual gift from the Lord. It's so awesome. But before we get started, I have to point out some more background. This is my introduction for the next few weeks. So before we get started, I want you to know this. We should never make spiritual gifts the end-all, be-all. What I mean by that is we should never want to make our, if you have a spiritual gift, it should never be a badge. It should never be something that you wear as a trademark, because that's not the purpose. The purpose of having a spiritual gift, as you're going to see, is so that I can come and stir you up and help you and strengthen you. And if you have a spiritual gift that I don't have, you come and you strengthen me. Not to show off. Not to show off. You know, some people treat their spiritual gifts like playing cards. It's like, "Oh, what spiritual gifts do you have? Oh, you have that? Here's what I have. Can I have that one? You have this one? Yeah, I'll try that one out for a little bit." They're not trading cards. They're not badges of honor. What they are is they are imparted to us for the work of the ministry. Now, there are some churches that try to encourage you to have a certain spiritual gift in order to prove that you have the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Listen, we should not find our identity in the fulfillment of a call. Like, my identity isn't in my pastorship. We should not find our identity as Christians in Holy Spirit gifts in our lives. We should be satisfied with Jesus Christ and Him alone. That's our identity. That's who we are in Christ. Not my gifts, not my titles, not your gifts, not your titles, but in Christ. If you find your satisfaction in Him, everything else will fall in place. That's so awesome. One person put it this way: God will not give me humility or patience or holiness or love as a separate investment of His grace. He has given me only one gift to meet our need, His Son, Jesus Christ. God will provide all our need, singular, in Christ Jesus. All of our needs are met in Him. Anything beyond Jesus Christ is a gift. It's a bonus. Yay. Don't you like Christmas bonuses? Yeah. Well, guess what? Today your pastor is going to begin unwrapping Christmas bonuses for you. Forget about here comes Santa Claus. Here comes the Holy Spirit. See, it's important, folks. You know, I can buy gifts for my kids, put them under the tree, and they could go, no. They won't do that, but they could. And then we tear down the tree, and months later, there's the gift still sitting in a corner. They never opened it, so they never got to benefits of playing with it or using it. Listen, folks, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit wants to give you gifts. You need to unwrap it. You need to begin to use it and get the benefits from these gifts. Now, what are the gifts? I'm glad you asked. Thank you. Awesome. I'm going to list them for you. I'm going to list them twice. One, the first time I list the gifts. And don't worry, for the next few weeks, you're going to hear these gifts over and over again. So if you don't catch them, you can always get the recording. But I'm going to list them for you twice, real quick. First, the list is like this: prophecy, serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, leadership, mercy, a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, faith, healing, miraculous powers, distinguishing or discerning of spirits, speaking in tongues, interpreting tongues, and helps. Got all those? Great. One more time. Here you go. I'm going to do it fast again. Prophecy, serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, leadership, mercy, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, healing, miraculous powers, discerning of spirits, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, and helps. Now, you got to be asking, what's the difference between spiritual gifts and fruit of the Spirit? Well, spiritual gift is a supernatural infilling that allows me to do a certain task for a certain time. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness. You know the list from Galatians. But know this, fruit of the Spirit is one fruit. It's one Spirit, one fruit. It encompasses all those. If you have the Holy Spirit, you'll have love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness, self-control. You'll have all those. But a spiritual gift is no good unless you're already operating with the fruit of the Spirit. Why? Let me prove it to you. 1 Corinthians 13 says this. It says, though I speak with the tongue of men and angels, if I have not love, I'm a clanging cymbal. And love is listed in the fruit of the Spirit. So though I speak with the tongue of angels, though I speak in tongues, if I have not love, what good is the tongue? No good. So no matter what gift you have, you know, if it's, you know, prophecy, serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, whatever it is, if it's not done with love, it's empty. So before you can operate in a gift of the Spirit, you first have to have the fruit of the Spirit. Otherwise, it's useless. Does that make sense? No? Okay, I don't care. No. I'm just teasing. See, so a gift of the Spirit is the Holy Spirit empowering you. Here's the thing. The gift of the Spirit is not natural. It's not natural. It's supernatural. Why? It's from God's Spirit. You know, before I got saved, I was a singer. That's what I did. And so when I got saved, I was like, well, I'm going to sing. I'm going to sing for Jesus. I'm going to sing for the Lord. I'm going to use my voice for God. And God goes, no. I want you to use your voice, but not singing. I didn't know that. So I tried to force my natural talent upon what God wanted to do. But see, that's not an empowering of the Spirit. Why? Because see, here's the thing, folks. If I can do a certain thing, and then I get saved and I continue to do that certain thing, that can't be counted as my spiritual gift because I'm doing it in my own power. I could do it with or without the Holy Spirit. But a spiritual gift is when I can't do it and I have to rely upon Him, and then it gets done and it's, wow, look at that. Hey. See, for me, singing would be natural. For me, teaching, that's supernatural. And we'll talk about that here in a minute. But let's unwrap some gifts here. There are, by the way, before we start looking at our particular scripture, there are three lists of spiritual gifts, and here are the, or actually four, but here are the locations. Okay, I want you to write these down because for the next few weeks, we're going to be, you can go ahead and read these on your own and kind of glean. You want to read Romans chapter 12, verse 6 through 8, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 as well. Read the whole chapter. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 through 11. It's a short list. And then some would include Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, which lists kind of church offices. Not completely spiritual gifts. I mean, that is a giftedness per se, but it's maybe more on the line of calling. But I went ahead and we're going to add them to this list anyway. Now, let's look at our scripture for today. First Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 through 11. And let's ponder this. Watch this. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. Now, notice there, real quick, notice it says the same Spirit, then the same Lord, then the same God. You got the Trinity right there in case anyone ever says to you, there's no Trinity in the Bible. Well, there's one right there. Spirit, the same Spirit, same Lord, same God. Speaking of the same. Okay. Who works all in all. So who is he working? All. All who? Believers. And here you go. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one. Now, what does it say? For the profit of? Well, let's try that again, folks. Who is it to profit?
All.
Does that mean some?
No.
So if I have a spiritual gift, who is it to profit?
All.
Yes. Would that include you?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. Hang that on your belt. Important information to hang on to. So if the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the profit of all. For to one is given a word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another a gift of healing by the same. Notice he keeps saying by the same Spirit, just in case you're not sure. He wants you to know there's one Holy Spirit, and it's He who is doing all this in our lives or in anyone's life. But notice he says to one is given, to another is given, to another. These are different people, to another, a working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits, to another, different kinds of tongues, to another, interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all of these things. Look, listen to this right here, distributing to each one individually as He wills. So, based on that scripture, according to verse 11 of that, who decides who gets what gifts? You're not sure? Who's going to decide that? The Holy Spirit. Okay, here you go. Can I pick from that list? Can I pick the gifts that I want? Can I give you gifts that I want you to have? Can I, here you go. Can I teach you how to heal or how to speak in tongues? Can I teach you that? Why? Because it's from the Spirit. Folks, I knew this church in Houston. I knew some people who went there. And they came up to me and they said, hey, we just had a retreat. I was like, oh, cool. Oh, was it a men's retreat, women's retreat? No, it was a tongue retreat. Send your tongue on a retreat. No, and they said, no. What it is they took us on this retreat for 3 days, and while we were there, they taught us all how to speak tongues. Listen, that's what I'm talking about. You see, there are some churches that want everyone to speak in tongues, because if you speak in tongues, that shows that you are filled with the Spirit. Is that what this scripture says anywhere? No, it says the Holy Spirit gives to one prophecy, one teaching, one. Now, also know this. If you're a believer, you have a multitude of sins. Hey, it's true. You have a multitude of gifts. You can have more than one gift. You can have multiple gifts. But it's only as the Holy Spirit wants to give to you. We can't choose them. So when someone's like, well, the proof of you being, it doesn't say that. It says to some tongue and to another interpretation. Listen, I don't have either one of those. I have the gift of teaching and exhortation. I don't know what else, but that's about it. Romans, do me a favor, turn there, Romans. We'll be in Romans not too long from now, so you get a sneak peek. Romans chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. The reason why, and I want to show you a verse that some teachers, some churches get the idea that they can teach you, that they can impart to you a gift that they want to give, is this verse right here. Watch. Let me show you what it says. Look here. For I long to see, this is Paul speaking. For I long to see you, look at, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift so that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. So someone read that and see there, Pastor, for I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift. In the Greek, that's not how it reads. In the Greek, what it's saying is that Paul wants to bring the spiritual gift that he has to come. And what is Paul's gift? Well, obviously, he's a teacher. That's for one thing. We know that because we're reading his stuff all the time. So he wants to impart the gift that God has given him, that God has put in him to them. He's not saying, I'm going to give you gifts. Now, here's the other thing, folks. I can go up, and if we have someone that gets saved today, I can say that today you're going to receive some spiritual gifts. But can I decide which ones they are? Absolutely not. Is it going to be the gift of tongues? No. That's not what the scripture says. It could be. Hey, if it is, hey, good for you. Awesome. But it's going to be the gift that the Holy Spirit wants to give you. Paul isn't saying he wants to, you know, give them here. I'm going to give you some of this or that. What he's saying is, I have a gift I want to share with you, and then we can. And if they're believers, guess what they have? If you're a believer, what do you have? Spiritual gifts. Now, you may not have unwrapped them. They may be sitting under your tree at home. They may be still stuck in your Bible. But God has spiritual gifts for every single believer. Now, there are people with natural abilities. There are people who have, you know, they're brilliant. They have a mind. Like, you know, someone has a 175 IQ, and they start teaching the word, and you go, no wonder they're a good teacher. They have a high IQ. Well, that's not God. You see, then you take someone like me, and you go, oh, he's teaching. Wow, that is God. There's some, most of you here are smarter than I am, but yet you sit here listening to me teach. That's why I pray for you. But my ability, you know, I tell people oftentimes I don't consider myself to be very smart. You know, I had someone come up to me and say, well, Pastor Randy, are you a dropout? I said, no, I was a Syrian. And they said, that's all right, I get it. I don't need to ask you any more questions. Move along, Pastor, move along. Some of you are going to be driving home. What? Oh, that was funny, yeah. I get it. You'll call me. You'll send a text. You're so funny. But listen, folks, if you have abilities before you were saved and now you're a Christian and you're doing what you were doing before you were saved, understand that's not your spiritual gift. Now, I'm not saying God doesn't want to use that to bless us. He can use that. Absolutely. But trust me, what God wants you to do something that you are not used to doing, that you are uncomfortable with, that you have to say, I don't want to do this. And he says, good, now I can work. I'm like, pastor, me, a pastor? I'm more like a used car salesman. But God said, yes, I want you to do this. So what I have to do every day, I have to rely upon God to speak through me and for me to get out of the way. I just want to be a conduit for God's Spirit to move through. And so, folks, are you unwrapping your spiritual gifts? Do you know what they are? You know, if you took all your presents that you've ever received under the tree, every tree, and you piled them all together, they don't even come close to the gifts that the Holy Spirit wants to impart to you today. He wanted to impart them to you. He gave them to you the day you said, I love you, Lord. I want you in my life. He said, good, here's some gifts. Open them. Nah, maybe later. Why? Well, sometimes the gift requires some scary movement on our part. We'll talk about that here in a minute. Open Romans chapter 12, please. Romans chapter 12, verse 3 through 8. I want you to see this again. Emphasize in case you're doubting what I'm saying. Starting in verse 3 of Romans chapter 12, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Now stop right there. We're going to look at some more. Don't turn the page. We're going to go back to this. Maybe you have a strength, a spiritual strength in an area of your life. You have incredible faith in this particular area. Maybe I have a strength in a different area. Maybe the area where you're strong, I'm weak. And maybe the area where I'm strong, you're weak. The thing you never want to do is go, oh, really? Look at that. Listen, if you come to me for counseling, I'm not going to go, you did what? Oh, my gosh. I'm not going to do that. Why? Because I know this. Maybe that's your weakness, but there's probably an area that you're strong that I'm weak in. Because God, if you're a Christian, God has given you a measure of faith in a different area that my measure of faith is in. So we got to not think of ourselves as more highly than we ought. Oh, what spiritual gifts do you have? Oh, you don't have the one I have? Well, you know, there are people like that. I've run into them. I was like, what? It's the Holy Spirit that decides. Verse 4 of Romans chapter 12 says this. So first it says, God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So that blows me away when I go into a church and everybody can prophesy. Everybody speaks in tongues. Well, that's not even scriptural. Look, it says, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in portion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministry, ministering. To he who teaches in teaching. He exhorts in exhortation. He who gives in liberality. He who leads in diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Now, see, here's the thing. Mercy is a spiritual gift. Did you know that? But do you know that we're all called to be merciful? So there is a time when I might be incredibly merciful. But we're all called to be merciful. So sometimes the Spirit will give you a gift for a particular moment. Maybe there have been times when I've had a particular gift, and we'll talk about that here in a minute, and it only lasted for a moment, and then it didn't come back for years. That's because that's how the Holy Spirit decided to work it. But if you are a born-again believer, you have been given spiritual gifts. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 through 11. Go back to 1 Corinthians, but let's look at verse 8. Now we're going to pick two of the spiritual gifts, and I want to pick them apart. These will be our two spiritual gifts for today. For to one is given a word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another a word of knowledge through the same Spirit. Now, you have to ask yourself, what is the difference between the word of wisdom and a word of knowledge? Do you know? You don't? Good, I'm glad, so I can explain it to you. Now, I want you to notice how it's described as a word of wisdom. This tells us a couple of things. First of all, it's a spoken gift. It comes in word form, in audible, or it could be written as well. But for the most part, it's a given word. The other thing that this term describes, it's one who can understand and speak, here you go, biblical truth. Why? It's a word of wisdom. And where does all wisdom come from? The Bible. And given this word of wisdom, this understanding, in such a way, it's given to the person in such a way to help he who is hearing, to assist them in application for every life situation. See, when I come up here and teach, I don't just give you information. You see, I could do that. I could just rattle off, you know, words in the Greek and history and just give you information and say, hey, go figure it out. But what God has imparted in me is that I would give wisdom to you. In other words, here's some knowledge. Now apply it to your life in this way or that way or the other way. So important. So that's a word of wisdom. Now look at the word of knowledge. Once again, a word of knowledge. We're told this. It's another speaking gift because it's word. It involves understanding the truth with insight that only comes from a revelation from God. I've told you this before, but when I first got saved, I'd read the Bible. I didn't understand it. It wasn't till time went by that God began to unravel and unfold his word to me in a way that I could understand it. Those with the gift of knowledge get the privilege of sometimes seeing things a little deeper in God's word. But we're all called to gain knowledge from Scripture, are we not? Yeah, so we're all called, but some are given this supernatural ability to understand Scripture, and that comes from God. The Bible tells us it is the Holy Spirit that teaches us. So if you learn anything today, it wasn't me. It was the Holy Spirit who taught you. So here's what we got. A word of knowledge is information acquired. A word of wisdom is information applied. Now, I can have knowledge and no wisdom. I have knowledge. Okay, the Word of God says, you know, don't fornicate. But then I can be stupid and fornicate. Well, the Word of God, I have that knowledge. The Word of God says repent. I could be stupid and go, no, I'm not going to repent. So I have the knowledge without wisdom. So know this. Of these two, knowledge and wisdom, knowledge is dangerous. Do you realize that? In fact, 1 Corinthians 8:1 tells us this. It says, now concerning things offered to idol, we know that we all have knowledge. We all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. See, you can have knowledge without love. And remember, what is love? It's a fruit of the Spirit. So without the fruit of the Spirit, to have a gift, even knowledge, is a waste because you have not love. Everything needs to be laced with love, patience, kindness, goodness, long-suffering, self-control. You get the idea over in Galatians. You can read that for yourself. Now, wisdom, however, is not dangerous. Why? Well, because if I have wisdom and I misuse it, then I no longer have wisdom. I'm no longer wise. It defeats the word. It's not wisdom without being wise. So if I'm foolish with any knowledge, no longer being wisdom. So you get the idea. So we have to be careful, folks. But of course, in this situation, what the scripture is talking about is knowledge and wisdom on its purest form when it comes directly from the Holy Spirit and it's rightly allocated. Now, there's another aspect of supernatural knowledge. Let me tell you about it. I knew this pastor once. I went to his house and he looked at me, he goes, we need to go to McDonald's. I said, yeah, we do. I'm there. So we got in the car, and I'm driving, and I go to the nearest McDonald's. He goes, no, not this one. I'm like, what's wrong with this one? He goes, oh, go, keep going. So I went. The next one was like 7 miles, something like that, another 5 miles away. And we pulled it. He goes, this one. I go, okay, great. So I'm sitting there. I'm like waiting for this spectacular McDonald's. Tasted like every other McDonald's. So I'm like, what's the deal? Then all of a sudden, these boys come in, teenagers. He goes, them. That's the ones. I said, that's the ones what? I said, do you know them? He goes, no. God wants me to talk to them. And I'm like, oh, boy. Well, a couple of them got saved. And I was like, how did you know that? Well, one time, I used to do this door-to-door. We have a door-to-door ministry. I think they're going out today. But anyways, I did that for like 12 years, something like that. And I had the same spiel when I go up to a door, because it's real hard, knock on someone's door, invading their privacy. I'd say, hey, I'm Randy. I'm from Calvary Chapel down the road. And, you know, I'm not here trying to get you to come to our church. But what I am here to do, the Bible says to love your neighbor. And I don't know you, so the best way I can love you is pray for you. So I'm really here just to see if you have any prayer requests. Anyone in the military or in the hospital, anything like that. That was my spiel. Door after door after door. 12 years, that's kind of what I delivered. And everyone knew that's, the people were with me. A lot of them had been with me for a couple of years. One day, I knock on the door. Young lady comes to the door, and I did that thing, except I changed it. And I said, anyone, you know, in the military, maybe someone considering suicide or in the hospital. And I was like, suicide, just flipped out of my mouth before I could. And then she started to cry and she lifted up her sleeves and she had bandages because she had recently tried to cut her wrists. How did I know that? Well, I didn't. It was the Holy Spirit. Now, I just want you to know, this story could almost seem like it's trying to elevate me, but these things rarely happen in my life. But when it happens, it's not me, it's him. So it's not to elevate me, trust me. It's not. But I also know this one pastor that was counseling this couple. They were having some struggles and stuff, and he was just sensing something. So when the counseling session was over, he was walking them out. He called the husband. He goes, come here. He goes, how long have you been having the affair? He goes, how do you know? He goes, I didn't know. You just told me. But it was the Holy Spirit that put it in his heart to call this guy out, and it turned out that he was right. Sometimes God gives you a word of knowledge. But wisdom must go with knowledge. You see, the wisdom for my friend to say, we need to go to McDonald's. Well, it's always wise, but in this case, no. Actually, it's not wise, but Taco Bell's better. Just kidding. No. I'm just, I know it's Carl's Jr. But anyways, but the wisdom to know this is God and I need to act upon it. The wisdom, I mean, to say, okay, God wants me to ask about suicide and I do suicide and it comes out of my mouth. The wisdom to say, hey, you're having an adulterous affair. The wisdom to call someone out when needed to be called out. But then, the wisdom for those boys that came into McDonald's to say, you know what? This guy was waiting for us and to hear from the Spirit and respond. The wisdom for that girl to start crying and then to show me. She didn't have to show me, but she knew it was God revealing. And for that husband to come out and say, yeah, I'm having, and then begin the reconciliation process. I like, there's one quote that says this: there is no greater gift than to realize the constant presence of the divine and his absolute power to create and restore all things. You see, right there, you have knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge to recognize and realize that the constant divine power, that it's absolute power and that he's there with us all the time. But then the wisdom to go, well, if he's with us all the time, then I must be reconciled. I must be restored, or I must be a restorer. You see, we can have all kinds of knowledge, but if we tuck it away and we hide it away and we pretend or we try and hide our sins, then we lack wisdom. Then we're fools, as the Bible would call us, fools. I don't want to be a fool. How about you? I want to begin today, especially in this holiday season, begin to unwrap the spiritual gifts that God wants me to have. Supernatural powers from God. Who would want that? Some Christians. How about this? 1 Peter chapter 4, if you want to turn there, you can. If not, jot it down. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 and 11. As each one has received a gift, minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God has supplied. With all things, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, as each one receives a gift, you've received gifts from God. You just got to open them. You just got to start operating within them. One of the biggest obstacles for a Christian to operate in the spiritual gifts, you want to guess what it is? Sin. Beep, boop. Sin. Sin starts here, then goes here, then goes to our extremities, and we respond to it. The number one deterrent, the number one failure, the number one reason why people don't hear from God, don't respond to God, don't move in his power, is sin. That will strangle and drown a Christian from being able to operate in the full power of the gifts that God wants you to give. That's why on a regular basis, I tell people here in our service, hey, repent of your sin. Turn away from your sin. Raise your hand if you want to be renewed, if you want to get rid of it. Because I want you to be able to operate in the fullness that God has planned for you. And if you're not a believer today, oh my goodness, why would you not want, first of all, to be forgiven? Forget the spiritual gifts that come with, but just to be forgiven of all your sins, just to have that weight removed, and then to know that you have an eternal presence with God. I mean, that's worth admission all alone. And then to think on top of that, he's going to give you supernatural powers beyond yourself. Wow, it's a win-win. That's mercy and grace on top of it. Turn to me with me one more verse, Romans chapter 8, verse 11. This is going to fry your melon. Okay? Well, if you haven't had your melon fried in a while, and the only thing you fried was your turkey, time to fry your melon. Okay? Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Listen to this. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Okay. If we went down to the cemetery over behind River Valley High School, and there's, you know, a dead body laying there, what do you think the odds are of you laying hands and that body coming up? Yeah. But listen to this verse. Do you believe the Bible? But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead now lives inside of us. So the question you might be asking, let me put it to you this way. The question you should be asking, Pastor Randy, which would be weird for you to say that to yourself, but Pastor Randy, if God's Spirit, the one who raised Jesus from the dead, is in me, how come I can't see it? How come I don't see it in my faith, in the things that I do, in the way I live my life? How come I don't see that active power moving in me? I'll tell you why. Because you're not unwrapping the gifts. You've left them in the corner. You're like, I don't want them now. You know why I don't want them now, right, Lord? Because it's going to challenge me. It's going to be hard. I have to repent of some sins. And by the way, I like those sins. I'd like to hang on for them for a little while longer. And God goes, oh. You know, the gifts that God gives us, when you unwrap them, no battery is needed. They're already charged, fully charged, recharged, and recharged. They charge you up. No assembly required. It's going to assemble your broken life, put it all back together. It never breaks down, never gets old, never runs out. You'll never get bored. You know, I was watching Brian Regan, and he says one statement you'll never hear parents say. Yeah, the kids are upstairs playing with all those Happy Meal toys. You'll never hear that. Because every toy breaks, but the Holy Spirit gift never breaks down. In fact, it puts us back together. Listen, the reason why so many Christians don't operate in the Spirit is because most Christians live lives that don't require. It's when we step out in faith. It's when we put effort into moving forward in a direction we've never gone before. Some Christians are just active in sharing their faith on Sunday and Wednesday and maybe some holidays and maybe an event here or there, but not beyond that. Don't push me past what I feel comfortable doing. Well, then you won't operate in the gifts because the gifts are to go where you're not comfortable and to empower you in things you never thought you'd. Listen, I didn't want to leave Houston. I loved it there. My family loved it in Houston. And I came down here and I was met with conflict after conflict after conflict 3 years before I started this church or before God started this church. I wanted to leave. And it was another pastor from Needles who called me up the day I was going to leave. And I was like, dude, I'm done. I'm crying. I'm like, I'm leaving here. I'm never going to be done as a pastor. And he said this, Pastor Randy, stand in the fire like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and you'll see the presence of God come stand right next to you. Stand in the fire, folks. Oh, unwrap that gift, those gifts that God has just for you. I like this quote. In the New Testament, we don't find our gifts through self-examination or introspection and then find ways to express it. Instead, we love one another, we serve one another, we help one another, and in doing it, we see how God has equipped us to do the thing we thought we couldn't do. Then we see the power of God. You see, I had to step out and do something that I thought I could never be able to do. You want to make me a teacher? I didn't like my teachers. That's not true. I liked my teachers. I just didn't do the homework. But I was a Syrian. So, brothers and sisters, here's my encouragement to you. Merry Christmas. This season, from now for the next few weeks, we're going to start unfolding. We'll start unwrapping some gifts. And I pray that in these lists that you keep coming back and you find the gift that God wants you to operate in. He'll tell you. He'll move you. Just make yourself open. And then here's, get the sin out of your life. God doesn't wink at your sin. And you know what? If need be, he'll reveal it. But he wants you right. He loves you enough to reveal your sin in order for the Holy Spirit to work through you. So I personally, I ask the Lord to keep me on a short leash because I want to be right next to my God in everything I do. How about you? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for your house. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that you, Holy Spirit, desire to work in us, to be a part of our lives so we can give glory to you, Lord, so that we can bring others into a place of restoration, so that we can help others to come to know you, so that we can be that iron sharpening iron. So, Father God, that we can walk in newness and wholeness of life. God, I can't even imagine why you'd keep giving and giving to us. We are so undeserving of your Son, and then you pile the Holy Spirit on top of that, and then you give us an inheritance on top of that, and then you give us your love on top of it. It's just, it's ongoing, Lord. It's just inexhaustible the way you give. Why would anybody say no to you? And yet, Father, I find myself at times quenching you. I find myself walking in darkness. Father, there's no fellowship with light and darkness. And so, Father, this morning as we're all looking at our lives and asking, God, am I missing the gifts that you've given me? If I'm taking them for granted, as we're asking that, may we confess our sins. May we do whatever we need to do to be right with you and not walk in sin any longer. May we begin to operate in the fullness of your blessings. Oh, my Lord, how good, how awesome are you? And so, Father, we love you, we praise you, and we honor you in Jesus' name. All God's children said, Amen. Let's stand and sing one last song to the Lord.